Thank you, Carol. Beautiful song. Take your Bibles now, and let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I want to talk to you about the storms of life today, the trials that Christians go through. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We'll read down through verse 41. Verse 35. In the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, these people thought they were going to put Jesus in the boat, and that it was their task to get him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. They thought that this was up to them to get this done. But they were going to learn as they were going across that they needed the power of God, and they needed the presence of God in order to get them across that time of a storm. All of us face stiff winds, don't we? We all face different kinds of trials and troubles and difficulties that come to our life. It may be something to do with your physical body. It may be something to do with financial reversal. It may be something to do with your marriage or your children or your grandchildren or whatever it may be. There are all kinds of trials. It may have been a premature death of someone you love. A lot of different things come in to our lives that are trials. We face the stiff winds. But we need to learn what we ought to learn about those storms and how to survive them by looking into the Word of God. And let me just say, first of all, there is the reality of storms. Go back to verse 35. The same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they sent away the multitude, they took him as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. There it is. It's a reminder to us today that storms are going to come. The reality of storms. By the way, was Jesus in the ship during the storm? Yes. Did the fact that Jesus was in the ship during the storm keep those people from having a storm? Not at all. The fact that Jesus is present with you and me does not guarantee us that we will not go through some storms and difficulties in our life. He never promised you or me, and if you promise somebody if they'll get saved they'll never have any problems, you should quit lying about that. You may mean well, but it's not true. Of course, the difference is Christ will be with them, but there would be, if we think there's going to be no problems, we're wrong. And storms are going to come, and storms are unpredictable. Over there in the Sea of Galilee, those of you that have been over there, and you've heard the guides tell you how quickly a storm can come through those mountains. It's like an air tunnel. And they can come down through there, and all of a sudden that calm sea, it changes just like that. And you're in the middle of a storm. I don't know if you've ever been out on a big lake. I was out on Lake Michigan one time. You know that lake with my former minister of music. And we were out there fishing. Everything was going pretty good. All of a sudden, a storm came up on Lake Michigan. That's a pretty big lake. And we barely made it back. We were the last boat going in, barely made it in to the chute. And like to lost my son in the process because he went down and shot back up and just happened to hit on top of the boat. So it worked out. But a storm can happen just like that. And it can happen in your life. Tomorrow may be the day your storm comes. Some of you are going through a storm right now. Some of you have recently gone through a tragedy or a terrible storm in your life. We don't know when they're going to come. They are unpredictable, especially these storms on the Sea of Galilee. Now, let me ask you another question. Do you think that Jesus knew that storm was going to happen? Sure he did. Is he not sovereign? Does he not have foreknowledge? Does he not know what's going to happen in my life, in your life, tomorrow, and next month, and next week, and next year, and the rest of our life? Certainly he does. We must remember that he is sovereign. God is sovereign. Jesus is sovereign. Romans 8:28, "But we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purposes." And God has ordained and allowed these things that we might not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. He allows these things, and he knew that was going to happen before he got in the boat. You see, God was not wanting them to be comfortable, but God wanted them to be conformable. Most of us want to be comfortable while God is wanting us to be conformable to the image of his Son. He wants us to grow and be more like Jesus Christ. Therefore, he knows some of these things that are going to happen, certainly before they happen, but comfortable is not the word. Conformable is the word. And the trials that I've gone through in my life have not made me comfortable, but they've made me more conformable to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you that it's been down in the valley where I've grown. I don't grow much, and most of us don't, on the mountaintop. Oh, I like them. I really like them. But I have done my growing down in the valley when things were in a mess, when things were not right, when there were trials, when there were things I didn't understand and couldn't rationalize, things that I still don't understand. But that's when I grew, and God knew the growth that I needed and knew how I needed that growth. God is sovereign, and God knows. Now, in verse 37, it may seem like he was being unmerciful to them. Go back to that verse. "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." Well, Jesus, where are you? Did you ever feel like that? When things were happening, did you ever feel like, where's God? Where is God? Where's Jesus? Where is he? Why is he letting this happen? Does he not know that the water's getting in the boat and the boat is filling up? Just like he speaks here, so that it was now full. It was now full. Luke says it this way in Luke 8:23, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy." Why, Jesus is asleep. And they got a little bit out of shape about that. "Why are you sleeping, Jesus, on the boat? Don't you know that the boat is full of water and the storm has come?" Now, when we face those things and we face the trials and the water gets in the boat, as we would say, when those things come in our lives, we have a choice at that point. We have a choice. It is decision time. So we can do this. We can depend on the Lord, or we can go carnal. We can depend on the Lord, or we can go carnal. James said in 1:2 and 3, "My brethren," now I want you to take a little test while I'm reading this and see if you do this. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." Count it all joy when you're going into the trial. When do we get happy? It's when we're coming out of it. But James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different kinds of temptations or trials is what he's talking about. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. God will cause you to grow as he allows these tests and these trials and these disappointments come in your life and my life. And what he wants us to do is to change our perspective. Now look at verse 38. The disciples forgot who was in the boat. Look at it. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, they called him Master, carest thou not that we perish? They should have known that he cared. They should have known that everything was going to be all right, because when Jesus is in the boat with you, it's going to turn out the way it ought to turn out. He was there all the time. All the time. And that should have brought them a great deal of comfort. I don't blame them for going to him. I'm not saying that. But they perhaps did not recognize and realize and were not being honest about the fact that he was the Savior and he was really God, and that any moment he wanted to, he could get up and stop that storm. And so they went to him. 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't be surprised if there are disappointments in your life. Some very grave disappointments. Some very serious heartaches and trials. You see, the chief end of man is to bring glory to God, right? Not to be comfortable, but to bring glory to God. And God allows a lot of things in my life, in your life, so that we'll be conformed and be more like Jesus, and we will bring glory to him when we get that way. And that's what God has us here for. Then look at the request of the fearful. In verse 38, again, Master, here's the request they're saying to him, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care? In other words, they were saying, help us. Don't you care that we are going to perish? It seemed like he really didn't care. Let me say this to you, and you may want to jot this down in the fly leaf of your Bible or somewhere, because it's a good statement, and I hope you'll remember it when you go through these trials. And that is this: any circumstance out of our control is in his control. Any circumstance out of our control is in his control. Always remember that, and that'll help you out. And it's a truth according to the Word of God. We want God to do what? Lord, we want a removing job. God says, I want an improving job. I want to improve you. I want to make you a better Christian, so he allows these trials. Thank God, the Lord is our helper. I'm glad that he's there to help us out. He wants us to come to him. James again reminds us in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth none. Go to God and ask him to see you through that time. Lamentations reminds us of that. Chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Beloved, if it were not for his mercies, we would be consumed. But he's there. And he's there to help us out. And he's there to give us his mercy that we are not consumed. We may feel like we're going to be consumed, but he will not let us be consumed. His mercies are there every day. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23 reminds us of that. Thank God for this statement. They are new every morning. Well, I'm thankful God's mercies are there every day. They are new every morning. And then he said, great is thy faithfulness. He's talking to God. Talking about God. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies are there every day. They are new every morning. Whatever we need for that day to get us through that day, God is there to do it. Now in verse 39, we not only see the reality of the storm and the request of the fearful, but the response of the Savior. Look at verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Any doubt about him being God? Not at all. The response of the Savior was to rebuke the waves and the storm. He rebuked it. He spoke to the sea. Here's what he was saying. He was saying, "Hush! Shut up! I muzzle you. I put a muzzle on you like a barking dog. I put a muzzle on you. And you must lie down and stay there." That is what? What is that? His spoken word. There he was saying it. We have his word. We go to his word. And just like his spoken word calmed the storm of that day, it is his word in my life, in your life, that's going to calm our storms. And we better go by the word and not by our feelings and not by our emotions and not by our friends and not by the demonic forces of hell, but go by the word of God. When you go by the word of God, his spoken word always does the job. And this is God's word, without error. And then he challenged his disciples in verse 40. He wasn't through. He took care of the problem, but then he turned to them. And he said unto them two different things. Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? Two different things that he reprimands them for. One is their fearfulness. The psalmist said in 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of need. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. He is our help. He's there, a very present help. In trouble is what he's literally saying. They're in trouble. So fearfulness, he says, you should not be afraid. Don't let fear creep in your life. I'm in charge, and you should not be afraid of whatever you're going through, have gone through, or whatever you might have to go through. And then he says, another problem you had is you didn't have enough faith. You came and talked to me, but I was in the boat. You should have remembered who I was. You should have known I was not going to let you perish. I am God. But you came to me. And so he reprimands them for no faith. How is it that you have no faith? And that was Jesus. That's not another human being judging them. That's what Jesus said to them. Here's something that you need to remember in your life. Fear always cancels out faith. Fear always cancels out faith. But here's the other side of that. Faith always cancels out fear. Fear cancels out faith. Faith cancels out fear. Matthew reminds us in 6:30, "Wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" He's reminding us that we've just got to depend on him, and he's going to meet our need, whatever that need is, and get our eyes off the circumstances. Remember, he's in the boat with us, and just let him take care of it, because he is going to take care of it. And what were their resources? The last verse. "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another." This was a little different kind of fear. In other words, an awe that they had, a respect. And they began to have reverential awe at this point. "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You see, they should have known that. They called him Master. They should have known that. But they're saying, what manner of man is this? Well, I'll tell you what manner of man he was. He was the God-man. He was God in the flesh. And he was there for them. And they should have known that he was going to stand by them. I like a song that I used to hear. There was a dear lady from Pensacola, Florida, who used to come to our fellowship meetings. And she would always sing the song. You remember? You guys know, "Stand By Me. Stand By Me." And I like this old song. It was written by a Christian African-American back in about 1905, Charles A. Tindley, a great Christian man. And then he penned these words during a time of trials. He said, "When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the host of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I do the best I can and my friends misunderstand, thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. When my foes in battle array undertake to stop my way, thou who saved Paul and Silas, stand by me." I like this one because I'm getting older. "When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me." All senior citizens say amen. "When I'm growing old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, oh, thou lily of the valley, stand by me." Friend, he's in the boat. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. May I simply say to you, if you're lost, not saved, no matter what your past, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've experienced, the Lord Jesus is ready to get in the boat with you. All you got to do is ask Him. Admit you're a sinner. The gospel, what is it? It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 15. And if you will believe that Jesus died and paid your sin debt, and ask Him to come into your heart, trust Him as your Savior, He'll come into your boat, my dear friend. Some of you today have burdens and heartaches. I would encourage you, disappointment, whatever it may be, trials of life, storms. You've gone through them a while back. You're going through them today. You may be going through them tomorrow. Why don't you come to this old-fashioned altar, these steps around here, and just kneel and pray and turn it over to God. And remember, friend, you may think He's asleep. He's not, in the sense that He's unaware. He knows exactly what you're going through. May you bring your burden to the Lord. Father, help us. There are those here that need to be saved. I pray that they would come to Christ today and know that Jesus is ready to get in the boat with them, and that can make the world of difference in this life and the life to come, of course. Help them to be saved. May you encourage Christians. We're only human, God. We do have trials, and you understand. You know that. We have a high priest that understands, and that's Jesus. May you comfort hearts today. May you just help people who are struggling with something like this, or roll that burden off on you, give it to you, and let you say, "Peace, be still." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God help you to come.